Canada, congratulations. You are the new HOH. And when you get your special HOH CD, you're going to need a pair of great headphones to listen to it. And that's why our friends at Tweaked Audio have a great deal for you. You could save 33% on high-quality noise-canceling earbuds by using the promo code
Here's the guy who accidentally shredded all of his notes for today's show. Oh, no. Rob Cesternino, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino here, as always, with my main bro for Big Bro Canada. Here he is. It's Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I can just email you those notes again if you want to.
Thank you. I'll have to keep them out of my shredder. Of course. Brian, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. These have been a little lackluster since the Twist announcement, but, you know, we're looking forward to nominations, I guess.
Okay. Well, tell those people at Twistos to stop messing with your feeds.
Well, I guess they're just sponsoring it, so it's not really their
responsibility, is it? They don't make up what the twist is?
No.
They just put their name on it?
Good twist idea, but it does have a side effect on the feeds, which is no game talk.
Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Brian Lynch and I are going to recap everything that's happened in the last couple of days. Lots of twists going on in the Big Brother world between Letters from Home and Canada's HOH. So we're going to cover all of this, plus the eviction of Ika, and talk about how that's going to affect things and the events leading up to that eviction. We've got the chat room going. I see chats going a mile a minute. You guys are already talking about everything that's going to happen. Then we also got Twitter open. Scott St. Pierre is watching all of your comments on Twitter. And then, of course, the YouTube video itself on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. So a lot here to do here today, Brian. Boy, I just watched the episodes this afternoon back to back, and Letters from Home. I have this. Wow. I have mixed feelings about it because I don't like it when they show people the reactions, because I feel like there are going to be times in the future where people may not give you that sort of transparency and just openness about how they're feeling. Because like, oh, I don't want, you know, I hope that the whole house isn't hearing what I'm saying. So I don't like that as much. But boy, it was compelling to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was very compelling. I get what you're saying, though, about wanting the house guests to be able to speak freely, because we talk about that. We want them to be able to talk to us freely and give us the story. But Ika got topazed, and she readily admits it. But she does say on the sideshow afterwards that she was not told to speak out loud. She just did it for the viewers. And that's what made me feel guilty about it, was because that's what I wanted her to do.
Yeah. What's what you wanted her to do? That's, you wanted her to shred everybody's letters?
No, I want her to speak freely. I want her to, like, when she's given that opportunity, I want her to be able to tell us what's going through her head. And I agree that this is going to be one more of those things that keep people from talking freely.
Ika was really the perfect person to do it, though. I mean, that Ika doesn't have a problem with speaking freely. I think if they told Ika ahead of time that, by the way, everybody in the house is going to be able to watch you as you make this decision, I don't think what she would have said would have been that different than what she actually said.
Right. She may have crafted it a little bit more friendly towards maybe Netta, because she really kind of threw Netta under the bus, I think, because Kenny actually pointed something out about that when Netta's letter was being shredded, saying, oh, well, that tells us something about the comments that Ika actually made while she shredded.
Yeah. He said, like, that's very telling.
Right.
Yeah. But I feel like for Ika, it was sort of no harm, no foul. Like, I'm not going to get, you know, as broken up. I feel like if I would go back a year and I went and watched the podcast from a year ago, I feel like I was kind of annoyed with the Topaz thing. I didn't like what they did to Topaz. For Ika, she was going out the door anyway, so it kind of was no harm, no foul with her.
Right, exactly. But I was kind of proud of Ika for the way she fought. I kind of got the impression that she was maybe rolling over on the feeds, but she did start fighting and going to the girls, tried to get that back together. She went to Kenny, tried to get something going there. In the end, it just wasn't going to happen, so she made the right decision.
Brian, I didn't just like Ika. I think I love Ika.
I do too.
She was great. I mean, she was really great.
She was great. Just her effort, especially in staying out there, her dedication to recount all those balls over and over and over, and then to actually be the one to get whatever prize it was. It didn't really help her in the game, but it could have. So I'm just going to have to say that I appreciate that out of her. I don't really feel like – I feel like Ika now, if she could start the game over and play, she would be a really strong player in this game.
Yeah, it seemed like it took her a couple of weeks to figure out what was going on in the house. And then by the time she figured out what was going on, then like it was too late and she had already been whacked. And unfortunately, a lot of her secrets about what's going on, you know, sort of go out with her, with the exception of the information that she shared with Adele.
Correct.
Yeah.
And she shared a lot of information with Adele. As we see, they were very close.
Yeah. So I think that's going to really help him as we get into the Canada's HOH, because I do feel like that the Adele Ika side, I feel like, has the support of Canada. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Who do you think going on the block for Canada this week?
The overwhelming majority of everybody that I've seen voting has put out Sabrina and Andrew as the nomination. So if I'm going to predict who the nominations are going to be, that would be it.
So this is actually going to be very interesting. So I feel like on the... Did you watch the sideshow also?
Yes, I did.
Did you feel like... Were you okay with Peter and Gary implying that people should vote for Sabrina?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Peter just said that Andrew would have a rude awakening coming.
Well, they both made a comment. I think they both sort of like in Peter's thing, like he said, the person who goes on the block this week, and he's like, Sabrina. And he mentioned her. And then Gary also did it. And I guess it's not a big deal, because if they did it on Twitter, then, you know, who cares? But do you think that's okay that people on the sideshow are endorsing who the voters should vote for?
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. I mean, that's sideshow etiquette, really. I mean, when you compare it to other versions of Big Brother,
okay,
I believe.
And we'll talk about all this with Peter on Tuesday when he joins us. Peter and Alec are going to be with us on Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, to talk about who Canada nominated and all things Big Brother Canada 1 and 2. So I think that's going to be a very interesting week, though, because if what you're saying holds, where we see Sabrina and Andrew going up on the block, then Sabrina is not winning a veto.
No, and just to clarify what Peter's saying, when he on Twitter, he's saying that a Sabrina and Andrew nomination could be dangerous, because what we're thinking is that this vote is going to determine the replacement nomination as well. So if Kenny's not on the block, he gets into veto comp and vetoes Andrew, then you may have a situation where the fourth place person in votes is the replacement nominee. And judging by what people are saying on Twitter, that could be Rochelle or Adele.
That's interesting, because in my mind it was, okay, we're going to have the nominations and then we're going to have the veto. And then if the veto was used, then I was thinking that Canada was going to vote on who do we put up on the block with the veto. But you're right, because we're not going to have time for that, because unless we do it where everything is sort of on hold, and then on Wednesday night they have the veto ceremony and they tell the house guests, hey, we're going to have to wait to see what happens with Canada. And then on Wednesday, I'm doing the American Big Brother announcer. Who should Canada nominate for veto? Text 1-4. So I don't know if that's how they'll do it, but I think you're right. I think they'll probably just go with the person down the list, because that's what happened with MVP this summer in Big Brother 15.
Yeah, exactly. So we could end up with a situation where a majority of people want to target first five members, and then by default accidentally screw up the nominations. And if Kenny wins veto, takes off Andrew, Adele could go in there and first five would have power to vote him out.
Boy, oh, this could be tough, because, you know, a lot of the viewers are saying, oh boy, we want to see Sabrina go up on the block. But then the house may not vote her out.
Yeah, I think the play is to nominate, if you're wanting to target first five, the play is to nominate Kenny and Andrew. Expect one of them to veto themselves. And then you have Sabrina, probably the first place in votes, coming in as the back door.
Now, Brian, how many people vote this week?
It's going to be nine.
Nine.
So you have to have five.
Okay. I was going to say, so there's no chance that Canada would have to break a tie this week, right?
No, there's 11 people in the house. There'll be two people on the block.
Oh, wait. So now this is screwed up because now that Canada is HOH, now we can't play for HOH next week.
Yeah, but, if you want to be HOH, you got to pay the price.
I guess so. I hope that Canada doesn't get HOH-itis.
Yeah, Canada's going to get backdoored.
Canada could get backdoored next week. Oh,
like
no.
Ica.
Like Ica. Did you think that Ica got HOH-itis? Like, I didn't see it that way, even though she does go the dubious distinction of to go from HOH 1 week to out the door the next week, which we've seen so many times in the history of Big Brother. Was it because of HOH-itis?
Well, she definitely had a thought process which led to her trying to use her power to extend her life in the game. It didn't work, but she did kind of we saw her apologizing to Heather when they were doing that little fort thing, and I thought that was a great apology. But I don't really – I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm saying.
I think she was humbled. I think that the HOH gives you, goes to your head and you think you're calling all the shots. And then when she was like down on the bottom and the only person that would hang out with her besides Adele was Heather, I think she like was like, well, Heather, you're not so bad. I'm sorry about the things I said about you. And that was a really nice moment.
Yeah, and she admitted that what she said were personal attacks and had no place in the game. And I think it's kind of what we've been saying about some of these personal attacks. So it was kind of good to hear it coming out of Ica's mouth. It made me feel real good.
Ica was great. She was a great cast member. I know Peter said she was bad at the game, and she probably was, but she was great casting for this show.
Yeah, and Peter said that too, that he really appreciated what she did, but she was a bad game player. So I think he gave her a pass, really.
You know what? More than half the people on this show or any of these shows, Survivor, Big Brother, whatever, are bad game players. Not all of them are good TV. And at least Ica was great TV. I don't care if she was a bad game player.
Oh, yeah. She completely blew up that whole thing with shredding those letters. Did you just Kenny and Andrew's reactions? I was like, what is wrong with these guys,
I loved it. I loved it so much. Do you think for 1 second, did you say, oh, maybe she should have taken given the letters and shred the check?
Not for 1 second. I mean, when it looked like she was going to shred the check and Adele said, what a woman, I said, yeah, that would be something to know that you're going to leave and still give them the letters. But, I mean, girl, take that money. For real.
Yeah. I do wish that she would have taken the letters, a part of me does, because it would have been great to see how hypocritical some of the people in the house would have been, like a Kenny, where then they would have, they would have like taken the letters and then voted her out, but then have some, try to justify what they were doing. And, but it made it too easy almost for her to say, oh, you're a bitch. That's why we're voting you out. You're a horrible person. And, and she's obviously not a horrible person. She knew the writing was on the wall, but it was sort of like they were then justified for voting her out because she didn't give them their letters.
Yeah, but that's just ridiculous because they were planning to get her out anyway. They weren't changing her mind. So just to grasp onto that and using it as an excuse is in poor form, in my opinion.
You know who I'm starting to really like also, Brian?
Adele.
No, I already like Adele.
Netta.
Somebody new. No, I'm sort of neutral on neutral positive on Netta. I still like her, but she didn't do anything new to make me like her more.
Well, give it to me. Allison?
No, Sarah. Sarah has won me over, Brian. Now I like her too.
Yeah, she had that moment where everybody was flipping out about the letters, and she said, no, I would do the same thing. There was something on the feeds, though, about her getting really mad at Andrew for personal attacks against Ika, and I was trying to figure out exactly what Andrew said, but it turns out that he had called Ika a whore or something that she was really mad about.
But then later on,
yeah, I think that's what it was about. But later on, Ika and Sabrina get into this huge fight that wasn't covered on the show. And then Sabrina comes back inside and calls Ika a whore. And Sarah has no problem with that. She went to Sabrina and told her, yeah, I feel really bad for taking up for Ika. So, I mean, I get this impression that it's whatever suits Sarah's needs at the time.
So, Sarah, so you're saying that Sabrina called Ika a whore?
Yes.
Why is everybody calling Ika a whore?
Well, Sabrina had gotten this altercation with Ika, and Ika just chewed her up and spit her out. And then Sabrina came back in and went to the DR, and they wouldn't let her in. And she came back to all the house guests in the kitchen or in the living room area and started screaming how she was physically attacked by Ika and that she threatened her and all sorts of stuff. And then feeds were cut. They took Sabrina into the DR. And then when she come back out, Sabrina's having to apologize for lying. She said that Ika didn't attack her, that it was just a brush on the stairs, and that what she thought she said that was threatening wasn't really threatening. And then when she got away from that situation, she started to spin it back. Yeah, she did bump me on the stairs. She was threatening me. Just a whole ridiculous mess.
This is like a Willie Hance headbutt incident.
No, it was nothing. That Sabrina was just concocted out of thin air.
That was nothing, too.
Yeah, but Sabrina was like, y'all can verify me. You got to tell everybody. It's true. It's true. She attacked me. And that's when Big Bro said enough.
Yeah. Enough. Go take a lap in the pool, Sabrina. let's take a question. This is from Sarah Spoils BB. Were you getting Survivor flashbacks when Ika was given the choice between the money and giving her house guests letters? I guess I'm not sure if this is exactly the same. But Mike Bloom, he also writes, who got more screwed by letters from home, Ika or Christy Smith? And I don't think that it was necessarily like the whole Survivor thing with letters from home. That's definitely, they've definitely made that temptation before of either you can have this reward or everybody gets their letters or whatever, or you get your letters. So, but they never done it on Survivor where do you want money or everybody gets their letters. It was almost like to me, do you remember back in Big Brother 2? And of course, this is a rhetorical question to ask you. Do you remember anything from Big Brother, Brian? But when Bunky had to, when he took the $5,000 to make everybody in the house eat PB&J for a week?
Yes, and there were other people that accepted that offer, but Bunky accepted the lower offer. I do remember this. There were people in that house trying to, because he tried to keep it secret for a while. And they were, when they found out, they wanted to put him on blast because of it. But then the other people, I can't remember who exactly the other person was. Maybe it was, I can't even remember.
Yeah. And then that kind of did get Bunky voted out, right? Like that was a factor.
Bunky was going anyway because of Will, I think. isn't that at four? Didn't he go at four?
I would love to eat peanut butter and jelly for a week.
Oh yeah. Compared to what the slop is, I mean, definitely.
Yeah, and they would complain about it. Oh, I eat peanut butter and jelly. Okay, Brian, let's talk about some of the things from the episodes from Wednesday and Thursday, and then we'll get into stuff from the live feeds. So we saw Adele pushing Ika to get back in with the girls this week, and Ika tries to hold an all-girls meeting, and it really, I felt bad for her because, you know, basically it was sort of futile, and I felt like Rochelle was, she just kept saying the same thing over and over again to Ika, was like, you know, I just gotta do whatever's best for my game, but I almost felt like she didn't even understand what that meant.
Who, Rochelle?
Yeah.
I mean, Rochelle's going to say what Sabrina wants her to. And that was, we saw that kind of in that Sabrina conversation with Ika, in which she was talking in the DR about having to talk to her without Rochelle. And then Rochelle came up and then Rochelle said what she was going to say. And then Ika said, oh, that was good. That was good. While Akko was still even sitting there, you know?
Yeah. I just felt like I lost a little respect for Rochelle, that it felt like she doesn't even know why it's she needs to get Aika out of the house, but she just feels like, okay, well, Sabrina says I have to get her out of the house, so I have to get her out of the house. And she's not really thinking about it as far as what's best for her game. She's just like, okay, well, Sabrina said it's good for my game, so I have to do it.
Exactly. She wants to do what's good for her game. She don't know what that is, so she's going to, you know, take Sabrina's advice.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, just trust me on this. This is what's good for your game, and just you know, I'll tell you, I'll explain it all to you later. It all makes sense. You just got to go with me. And I kind of feel like that's not necessarily the best way to play Big Brother.
And Sabrina's so happy about this that she refers to herself as the Puppet Master now.
Puppet Master. Right, and but then we cut the Puppet Master with her all the way, and Aika says on Wednesday night she's crying all the way to the top. On Thursday, we had a really great montage of her being like all crying about Aika going up on the block, and I thought it was a really cool scene with her and John, and she's like, oh, I can't believe Aika's going home, and she's all crying about Aika, and John is like, well, I know that she did this. He's like, but I'm just going to go along and let her think that she's whatever she's doing to me, and I'll just play along with it. And she's like, oh, John, you're such a great guy. But it was like, you know, she thinks she's playing him. He's like, well, I know she's playing me. I'm going to let her play me to play her. And it was really sort of like they just had to go through this dance where she's not really upset and he doesn't really care that she's upset, but he has to, they're both pretending.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then following that up, Heather came in saying, well, you know, I could stay, you know, like, but she's on the block against Aika. Yeah. She's like, you know, she could stay, cheer up. I might go home, whatever. Yeah, and then she goes to the diary room and says, I don't trust her either.
And really, when Heather is saying, yeah, I can kind of see through what Sabrina is doing. Like, I guess we have to question just how effective is Sabrina being?
Yeah, but Heather's been working it. She's getting information. She used her punishment to eavesdrop on people. I think she has a good idea of the targets in the house that would be good for her. And she's down with going with this other side of the house that's not the first five. So I think she's in a pretty good spot.
Brian, who had the better unitard this week, Heather or Rochelle?
Oh, well, definitely Heather. I saw Rochelle trying to say that her hot dog costume was better than Heather's, but we all know that it's not. Heather totally played Rochelle, gave up that POV just to put her in that hot dog suit, and she didn't even go home. She did the right thing by giving up that POV, actually, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think Heather was better. I didn't think that Rochelle's hot dog costume was that great. Sorry.
No, it was interesting, though, that... I mean, back to the point where she gets points for me for not taking the veto from Allison. Like, if she would have taken it, they would have taken the veto from her, and she would have ended up with something else.
Were you disappointed that Rochelle didn't come out of the diary room and say, who wants to see my wiener? What did she say? Did she say hot dog? She said wiener, but she didn't phrase it like that. Yeah, maybe Trish on Survivor could phrase something that way. Let's see. Then we also had from this week, Arlie did the Marsha the Moose challenge, and Arlie was great.
Oh, yeah. A couple of corrections from what we reported earlier. This was a harsh truth.
Yeah.
And so it was things that he was making up along the way. I thought they were brilliant. I thought it was just brilliant how he got through it. And made Kenny cry on top of it. And the thing about it is, like, on the feeds later, he tells people that, well, these were all lies. I just made all that stuff up. But when they get out of the house and they watch it back, they're going to know that he was telling them harsh truths, and it's going to hit them again.
It's going to hit them again like a boomerang. Then from Thursday, I really did like the scene where Sarah was hiding behind the washing machine so Sabrina wouldn't see her with Kenny. It seems like the first five is wearing a bit thin with Sabrina.
Right, and we've mentioned about Arlie not flashing the first five sign in the diary room while voting. Sarah didn't flash the first five sign this week either. She's really close to Arlie, so the first five is kind of like in danger there too. I mean, if Arlie splits, he could very well drag Sarah with him.
Yeah, I think the first five is really when if people are flashing the first five sign, I think that's a referendum on how much they are in it with Sabrina. Because I think Kenny and Andrew, if they wanted to just do their own thing, they could be without Sabrina. They wouldn't be first five. And I feel like if Sarah's not doing it, she's starting to get fed up with her. Arlie, we know what his deal is. So you're still going to see Sabrina in the diary room like doing it. But I don't think anybody else is going to be doing it for much longer.
No, and this is a change in position, really, for Sarah. So it's been coming. I kind of thought that her connection with Arlie was pretty strong, but, I mean, this kind of, like, solidifies it, I guess. I mean, she does realize that there's threats in her alliance that could, you know, make her a target.
Okay, hypothetically speaking, this is where I think things could get a little interesting here. So let's say Canada puts up Andrew and Sabrina up on the block this week, okay? Do you think that this could be a week that we see Adele use his magic veto and get into the veto competition so he can potentially win and leave the nominations as they are?
Yes, that's a possibility. But I think if you're nominating Sabrina and Andrew as HOH, on behalf of Adele, you don't want to put him in a position where he has to use his power, do you?
So you're saying you wouldn't want Canada to put Adele in a position to use his power?
I'm saying if your goal is to attack the first five, which would help Adele, which is kind of like the same goal here, putting Sabrina and Andrew up would almost force him to use that power in a way.
Well, I can guarantee you people are not thinking about their voting by if it's going to affect Adele's power or not. But should Adele use it? Let's say hypothetically, so they pick the vetoes and, okay, Andrew's in the veto, Sabrina's in the veto, and Kenny is also, he's going to play veto. Should Adele use that? And could he take Andrew off and say, you're not allowed to play for veto this week because I'm going to play instead of you?
I'm still a little bit confused about this. I think he can – at first I thought that he could do that. But I think what he can do is take off selected house guests for the POV. Like, okay. You can't take off the nominees or the HOH, I believe.
Okay.
But anybody that's chosen, he could take off.
All right. So we'll see what happens. So in that scenario, should he take Kenny off and play veto instead of Kenny?
I would. I mean, I don't think you can risk it. Really, but see, they're not going to target Sabrina in the house. They're going to, if it ends up being Sabrina against Andrew or Kenny, that group's likely to go ahead and target the competitor.
Yeah.
So Sabrina, in effect, is kind of safe in a weird way, I think.
Okay, so we're being joined here now by a special guest. He is the winner of Big Brother 14. Here he is. Ian, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Rob. I just got in.
Yes. Ian, were you watching us separately as we shredded a letter for you that was from who is your crush in the house? From Allison. Allison had written us a letter. We shredded it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm gutted, completely gutted about it. Yeah, actually, if I could opine on that, I think I had it much, much worse in Big Brother 14 on the subject of like a bait and switch with some sort of, thing from home. And I did not get it. And instead of breaking down, crying, and throwing a conniption fit, I laughed about it and didn't really care at all. Regarding the video message that I did not receive, whereas everybody else in the house did. So I think that the people in the house are babies, and they need to toughen up a bit.
So what happened? Talk us through that, because I don't remember that exact way that played out. I remember everybody in the house watching a video, but so you didn't get a video?
Yeah. No, because it was a Pandora's box. I was instead locked upstairs while everyone else got their video. And actually, I opened the box under the pretense that, because it showed my parents on the screen, and it said, like, message from home or something. I think it was video from someone that loved you or something like that. And I ostensibly would get that, but I did not. I got a video of Rachel Riley. So, actually, I think I had it worse than they did, and I didn't care at all. I just kind of laughed.
Yeah. Brian, what's worse, not getting your letters from home or not getting to visit with Tori Spelling?
Yeah. Not getting a visit with Tori Spelling.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is ridiculous. I'm with Ian here. If you can't be away from your family and all you have to do is whine about how much you miss your family, you make feeds intolerable.
Yeah.
And you probably shouldn't even be on the show, really.
Yeah. Peter Brown said it pretty well last night. It's like, if it wasn't for this whole situation, like, they weren't ever going to get those letters anyway. Like, it was just basically a bonus letter. They were never going to get it under any normal circumstances anyway. So I don't really see what the problem was. If you wanted to have the choice to get the letters, guess the number correctly.
Yeah. And Peter also said, like, look, and they're not going to say anything in the letter that's going to be that great. They're sort of like, Hey, the dog is fine. And, you know, everybody's doing good or whatever. So believe me, like, I know it's like, I remember from Survivor, you know, it would have been really, really cool to get a letter. But at the end of the day, you know, that's not what you're there for.
Right. It just to me, when I was in Big Brother, I think maybe it was emotional during the first one, but that was more because of the events of the day rather than the actual letter content. And after that, I mean, even pretty much that lasted about 2 seconds, literally. And then after that, it was like good bathroom reading material, just like something to read.
Wow, bordering on TMI, Ian.
Just something to read.
TMI adjacent. Ian, did you want to talk about at all, just big picture, about the letters from home? Did you like that as a twist?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, I don't really have any sort of issue with that. I think the HOH being Canada, I think that's fine. I guess it's not preferable, but I'm much better with this than, say, the veto last year or even MVP, since these are normal game elements. So I'm definitely okay with it.
Okay. Brian, let's open it up to the live feeds, and then I want to take a lot of your questions. So, okay. All right. Live feeds, and guess what? Nothing's happening, right?
No, not much at all.
Canada's HOH, and we don't know who the nominees are. So it's really no spoilers.
Yeah. Right, they've been talking a lot about who we might nominate. That's about it.
Okay. Before we get to questions, tell me a little bit about a controversial moment in the house between John and Kenny.
I think they may have got some alcohol at some point yesterday. But when the feeds came back, John's usually... I mean, he's a boisterous version of himself, and Kenny comes walking down the stairs, and he just screams out, "Hey, queer bag!" So, of course, everyone kind of shushes him up immediately. He says that he didn't mean anything by it, and that he didn't realize that was a derogatory term, and that Newfoundlanders say a lot of things that they don't know, basically what he said.
He didn't know that's derogatory?
He said he meant it. He thought queer meant weird, and he said what I meant was a bag of weird. But he does apologize.
I don't know
about
that.
Not so good.
Okay.
Not so good.
I don't know if that's holding a lot of water.
Could have covered it pretty easily. I think he went the wrong way there.
All right, Ian. Did you want to call your shot for who Canada is going to nominate. I know over the summer we made a $100 bet, which I lost, of who was going to, the MVP was going to nominate, or who America was going to nominate. So you've got a good track record on this.
All signs point to Andrew and Sabrina, I believe.
Okay. Andrew and Sabrina. Okay. That's about pretty much what Brian is saying. All right. Let's jump into some questions and we'll cover
a slight chance at Kenny.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah spoils BB. Were you getting, this is the same question. All right. Let's get another question up there. Okay. So, Jorge Alvarado, was last night's episode of Big Brother Canada one of the best episodes? The emotionally charged Ica segment was enthralling. Best Big Brother Canada episode ever?
Yes. I can't think of any other episode.
I will say no.
Interested. Oh, really? What would you say?
The best Big Brother Canada episode is the season one finale where Topaz puts the wrong key in the box. And it's
agreed.
That might be best for the wrong reasons, I think.
best episode of any show ever, I think.
That's like snakes on a plane good, you know?
All right. NY Italian wants to know, here's Michelle's question. Arlie versus Sarah, any opinion on who has better gameplay or position right now? Okay, this is an interesting question. Arlie or Sarah, who you got? Ian.
Arlie to win, Sarah for ostensibly last longer.
Okay, Brian?
Well, it's kind of hard to disagree with that. I think Arlie's got the best position to take it to the end, but I think Sarah is less exposed, I think.
I actually, last night on Twitter, I would say that I feel like Sarah or Netta, exactly runner-up. I'm looking for good odds on that.
Okay.
Either Netta or Sarah to be exactly second place.
Brian, we also saw on the show this week, the show tried to give us a little bit of the Netta John showmance brewing. Is that for realsies, or is that more of the Shane and Danielle variety?
Yeah, it's less than the Shane and Danielle
less
variety. I mean, they
Ian, is that possible?
Nothing. I mean, I don't. Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, there was at least some sort of mutual action on both sides, even though maybe one was much more interested. I don't think there's ever been anything that would suggest anything aside from platonic friendship between John and Netta, which is a good thing, as Netta is my backup pick.
Good. All right. Let's see. More questions from My City Seattle. Jonathan wants to know, who is the more disliked alliance, the Nerd Herd or the First Five? Who's more disliked? Brian.
Nerd Herd.
Ian.
Nerd Herd.
Yeah.
Nothing will ever come up that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Arlie's really not that bad. He's not.
Yeah. I don't think that First Five is that bad. I think that Nerd Herd. I mean, they were all unlikable. There was nothing redeeming with the Nerd Herd.
It was really bad.
They're screaming, "We hate America." I mean, can you imagine if the First Five was screaming, "We hate Canada"?
Yeah, a quick question, Brian. Are they allowed in the HOH room, or was showing all that stuff just for us, like the framed Justin Bieber pictures and stuff like that?
I haven't seen them in the HOH room yet. That doesn't mean that they're not going to get in there. Okay. But I haven't seen it. No, Ian.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So
do we all get a desk or dresser?
Sure. Sure. Okay. Sarah spoils BB. Are you surprised that Aika got as many hugs as she did while leaving the house?
No. No. I mean, that's just pretty common. You hug most people, unless the actual person getting evicted just storms out.
Now, Brian, go ahead.
I was just noticed that Andrew didn't hug her.
Yeah.
But I guess that was expected. What was you going
to
ask?
No, I wanted to ask you about Scott Reed in the chat room is saying that many in the LGBTQ community are voting Adele for nomination. Have you heard this?
What? Why?
But I guess
no.
Because he had made homophobic remarks.
One.
Okay.
One.
Should John be nominated also?
I don't think so. They were all apologetic, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, if someone's going to like, go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, it's not like last year in the USA House.
Yeah. No. Not,
yeah. So
not
I don't really
yet.
See that though. Okay. I don't see that as being a big thing, but I do know that people are voting their anti Adele votes out there because people are anti this twist and they want to screw it up in any way possible.
Okay. Well, yeah, we don't like that. This is from Bruno. He wants to know, note to future Big Brother Canada players, if you think no other players are watching you and you have to make a choice, you're screwed. Hashtag BB Cantu, hashtag RHAP, hashtag sabotage. Now, this is a question that people, I've gotten this on Twitter and in the chat room a couple times. Some people want to know, about, this is what Fred is asking, Fred underscore Erica underscore, Rob, can't future smart house guests use the secret watch to their advantage, feign naivete, and lie to the house guests like a Tony Jeremiah situation from this week's Survivor? But I just kind of feel like, how would you, you know, how would you know when the cameras are on you and when they're not? Anytime you're by yourself and have to, like, are talking to the host or talking through anything?
When you're in a group. If you're by yourself, it's not going to follow you unless you're doing something stupid. Right?
Ian, if you were in the Big Brother Canada 3, okay? If you were ever in any sort of situation where, you know, you had to make some sort of decision, would you just be talking through it as if the house guests were watching you?
Yeah, I try to say and reveal as little as actually possible. Anything that seems at all suspect, any like alone time nominations that aren't within the comfort of the diary room, I would probably just say it, keep it to myself.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever see something like that on Big Brother US?
I sure to hell hope not.
Okay. Yeah, I don't, I don't like stuff that makes the house guests have more inhibitions than they would normally. Even the stuff about like where we like, you know, get all over the people who make the offensive comments in the house. And then I still feel like that is also makes people like those people shouldn't say those things. But I kind of feel like then when we like publicly flog them for what they said, I feel like it still like inhibits more future conversations that are going to take place down the road in the house.
Yeah, I can see that because I guess that if and even outside, because if those things are coming up, I guess it could generate discussion for awareness on the topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like the more we're getting the house guests thinking about what they're about to say, like I feel like that's bad and that makes Big Brother less fun to watch because we want people we want people being completely uninhibited and forgetting that they're on a show really getting to Ian, you're a scientist. If the if the subject knows it's an experiment, you will get different results than a you know a subject who doesn't know it's an experiment.
And the thing is, you know, the closer we get to a either version being like the international rules, like Big Brother 1, the more fake behavior we're gonna see. The less interesting behavior we're going to see because people are going to just try to keep themselves, you know, to police themselves too much. And it's going to get quite boring, much like Big Brother 1 did.
Yeah. Going back to this game or whatever, the prize that Aika won. So what would have happened had this been like somebody who was in the first five? Who won this? Would this have totally blown their game? Like, let's say hypothetically Sabrina won this.
It could have easily, yeah. I mean, they could have let the cat out of the bag and that would have been it. Show's over.
Yeah, Brian, what do you think Sabrina would have done? She'd take the money or get the letters?
I think she would have probably, don't you figure she would have talked way much more trash than Aika did and blow up her spot completely?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Although she probably would have taken the letters, though, and then she would have just, like, guilted every single person the whole rest of the game of, like, hey, remember when I got you that letter from home? And you have to do it. So I think she really would have leveraged the whole letter thing and made people have a guilt trip, like, the whole rest of the game.
As she should. Prize guilting is very, very good idea, I think.
Yeah.
I gave up $5,000 for you people.
Yeah.
Is that the anti-Mike Boogie, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I always hoped to use was I would hope that Jen might look further down the road with things and help me out a little bit because of not taking the vacation, although she pretty much forgot about it without a week. So after about a week, it should be useful sometimes, but I feel like for something for the whole house, that's very good. That's very similar to like, do you take the idol clue or do you take the rice for everyone? Of course you take the rice for everyone.
Oh, is Mike Boogie immune to the prize shaming?
Yeah, no. I mean, Mike Boogie is definitely – I mean, that guy, they announce any prize, like if it's an endurance comp, I just expect him to, like, drop off before the sentence is even over. Like,
yeah, he does that sometimes when it's not –
three mystery boxes. Oh, Mike is down and running toward one of them.
All right, let's see, a few more questions. Zachary Zarnett-Klein, if you could give Arissa one piece of advice to improve her hosting skills, what would it be? I know Brian Lynch would say shorter skirts.
No, actually, I would say when they're voting in the DRs and someone compliments her and calls her treasure, then she needs to call them out and say, well, it's good to know that your mind's on flirting with me rather than on the game.
Oh, Brian.
I'd like maybe a little response there. Kind of, maybe something kind of like Julie did with Dan back in Big Brother 10. It's like, yeah, it's not – what is it, Mrs. Chan or something like that, where she kind of got snappy with him. I think that would be good. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what advice I have for Arissa. I think she's doing fine. I mean, she's like, I would say that she is doing a fine replacement level Big Brother hosting job. Yeah. I feel like nothing, she's not doing anything bad, not blowing me away. I think a good...
Perfectly good as a smiley host lady. You know, yeah. That's, actually, I have one thing. Did y'all notice why wasn't Heather made to wear her outfit on the live show, whereas what's her name there? Rochelle was. Did you notice that?
Interesting.
Yeah, she completed her punishment. She completed her 10,000 steps for that day and was told that if she finishes it, she can wear normal clothes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay. Sesson 100 wants to know, if one of the first five leaves this week, will the remaining four members remain intact, or will they scatter and form new alliances? Well, I think that depends on who leaves, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, I think this is a really good chance where we could hopefully shake things up if two of the first five are up there. So don't blow it. This is my advice. I would really like to see that happen because once they're on the scramble, that alliance is done. I think Mike Boogie said it best about that big giant alliance at the beginning of Big Brother 14. It's like, yeah, as soon as the Shane's ball went in the 20 slot, he knew the alliance was done. Like, it's over. And it'll shake things up pretty nicely.
Okay. This is from Matt Rubio. What's the bigger loss for the first five, Kenny or Sabrina? Who could the first five afford to lose or not afford to lose more? Who would rattle the first five more, Kenny or Sabrina?
I feel like they'd be more hurt losing. I would say Kenny. I think Sabrina has social influence, but I feel like that's eventually going to wear off. And I feel that maybe the best way to protect themselves moving forward is to get HOHs on their side. So I think Andrew and Kenny would be pretty big assets for them.
What do you think, Brian?
Their ideal cut this week, if they're going to have to lose someone, I think is Sabrina. She's the biggest liability of all of them.
Yeah, I would agree with Ian even more so, I think, because I think Sabrina has pretty much played out her social game and she's kind of polarize the house with her social game. So I don't think she's got much more in it for that. And she could just be one of those players that gets drugged at the end because she's not a comp threat.
Okay. I don't know. I kind of feel like, is Kenny bringing that much to the table? I kind of feel like that.
I think he's sandbagging it. Yeah.
Yeah. If they lose Kenny, I kind of feel like then Andrew is sort of like off on an island. And maybe he ends up like doing more stuff with Allison. So, boy, it's tough. It's tough. I feel like, and then with Sabrina, I mean, really, what do they have if they lose Sabrina? So I kind of feel like either one of those guys probably might be a tough loss.
I feel like Andrew would be the better target just because he's got that connection with Allison. And if you're on the other side of the house, you might be able to separate Allison from first five control.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Mike Bloom, will Allison possibly get some vote backlash as the people's champion of Big Brother Canada? All she's been able to do is crawl under Andrew. Ooh, harsh words from Mike Bloom.
I don't think so. I think she should be pretty safe this week. I think the most interesting topic here is not who's going to be put up. I don't think the interesting topic is who's going to be third in the votes if there's a replacement. I think the most interesting topic is who will be in fourth place if, say, Kenny were to win the power of veto and pull Andrew down, Kenny's not eligible to go up. So whoever number four is, I think that's the best of the hypothetical discussions that you could be having.
Well, we talked about this at the top of, at the top of the show. You think, but Brian had talking about the theory that it could be Adele. You think it could be Sarah that's the fourth person?
I think Sarah logically would be fourth. I think there's enough people in that Adele is in the good graces of that would make sure he's not there. And I would say that Arlie, given that Marsh of the Moose thing, we've seen him as like fun and a fun character. So I think Sarah would probably attract the fourth most votes.
That's interesting. Why do you feel like Sarah would get votes?
Well, because I feel like Arlie has had enough positive stuff on the edited show, which is where probably most of these votes are coming from, or people that watch the edited show. And I would think that since she's in the first five, she would be – I feel like she's more likely than Arlie.
Okay.
She's the only one left that isn't Arlie.
Real quick in the chat room, let me know if you guys voted. Tell me the two people that you nominated. I just want to see if – I mean, are we assuming that it's just Andrew and Sabrina where most people are going with their votes? But definitely show me in the chat room for those of you guys who are watching live. Even if you want to in the YouTube video after the fact, if you want to tell me who you nominated, just a quick poll question and see what you guys are thinking. All right, A Mile Away wants to know, why did the house lose 48 hours of water again? Brian, why did this happen?
You know, this come out of like our have-not competition a couple hours ago. We don't know why. We know that John and Adele are have-nots, and that's what we know.
Okay.
Is it 48 hours of water or hot water?
No hot water.
Okay.
Okay. All right. What are you going to do? Then Eli Zamora, do you think that Ika could come back to the house with a crazy twist? Ika for the win. Do you like the idea that Ika's coming back?
No. Paul is in the outside world with his family. So none of the pre-jury boots are being sequestered as far as I know.
Right. She was on the sideshow last night. She's not coming back.
Yeah. No, they're out.
Do you think somebody will come back this season?
Go ahead.
If they do, I think it will be in a capacity such that they cannot win. They seem to like copying these British twists. We've seen that on their version where someone can come back, but they have no vested interest in the game. They're just there to be there, and they're probably paid to just show up.
So do you mean like when Rachel came back into the house on Big Brother 12?
Yes, but possibly for much longer of a time.
Okay, but they're not eligible to win the game?
Not eligible to win. Not eligible to compete, vote, any of that.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. Paul Warren, will the viewers' interest in Showmances and Allison's fan base be enough to keep Canada from putting up Andrew this week? Do you think that the pro-Allison support will keep Andrew off the block, or do you think that the pro-Allison support might want Andrew on the block?
They want him up there.
Yeah, because that'll free up Allison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Ian, you're an Allison fan. You want Andrew out this week, right?
No, because I feel like the longer he's in there for things to stew, it's more time for it to go badly. And that if he's out immediately, it's more likely to end amicably.
Yeah. Okay. Ian, I talked about this on the Survivor podcast this week. I said that new rule, I'm like Bill Maher, new rule that people who make the merge or the jury in the Big Brother house, a guy can date a girl who didn't make the merge. No problem, but it's weird and awkward if a girl who made the merge dates a guy who didn't make the merge or the jury. True or false?
I think it's false. I think that anybody that made the merge is probably less dateable because they'll have to be much higher on themselves.
Okay. They're more damaged, but somebody who made the jury, should they ever be dating, should a girl who made the jury, should she ever be dating a guy who didn't make the jury on Big Brother?
I mean, I'm definitely going to be shipping like, let's see here. Let's couple Katie Collins and David Sampson up. I think I could live with that.
Okay. So you're not on board with this.
Yeah, I'm not on board.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, Zachary's on that Klein. Would you agree that the difference between Sabrina and Amanda is that Sabrina cries like a baby while Amanda owns her game? Oh, I disagree with that, right?
Yeah, Amanda cried like a baby too. Do we not remember her hiding up under some trash cans and stuff?
Yeah. See, the thing, the difference for me is like sometimes when I watch feed, like I'd be like actively entertained by whatever Amanda was doing for our viewing pleasure and things like that. Whereas Sabrina, Alec Buell, I think had the perfect word. It's just like cringeworthy. Like I don't like watching her. I feel like actually kind of like slightly repulsed whenever she's on. She's very annoying. I really don't find her to be good viewing at all.
Yeah, for the most part, I liked Amanda's game on Big Brother 15. You know, until then she took it too far. But I felt like what I didn't like was when she would cry when she, you know, she could dish it out, but then she couldn't take it. That was the biggest thing I didn't like about Amanda. And Sabrina's the same thing. Okay.
Yeah.
One more question. This is from Jonathan. He wants to know, what other moments in BB history in regards to entertainment value can beat Ika's shredding moment? Boy, recency bias might be at play here. Can you think of any moments, Ian, that were more entertaining than Ika's shredding moment? Okay.
I think the coup d'etat, I think, although...
Let's go around. Let's keep going.
Terrible for the game. Coup d'etat was very entertaining.
Let's just keep rattling them off. Okay, Ian, the coup d'etat. Which one, to be specific? The Coup d'etat Jeff?
The only one ever used.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian, your turn. Give me a Big Brother moment more entertaining than Ika's shredding the letters.
Shane's eviction.
Good. Yes. All right, my turn. I'm going to go with Marcellus not using the veto.
Yes.
Okay, Ian, your turn.
Twin twist revealed.
Oh, okay. Brian.
I'm going to stay with Big Brother 14 and say the funeral.
Dan's funeral.
Next one.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's my turn. Boy, put on the spot now. Let's go with, Oh, I've only got 5 seconds or I'm gonna get buzzed. I'm on the spot. Oh, okay, I'm out. I couldn't come up with I'm out. It's Brian and Ian. Brian and Ian.
Big Brother 6, give me that HOH key, bitch. That was good.
I don't know, Brian. That was better than shredding the moment, one line?
Well, I thought that was extremely entertaining.
All right, we'll take it, but it was questionable. It's questionable. Ian, Brian.
I'll go with a slightly more questionable one. Dr. Will's gay helicopter date with Monkey.
That was better. I'll go with Dr. Will's I hate all of you people.
Okay, that's speech. Legit. That's legit.
Yeah.
Keisha's birthday party.
Yeah. And
right, now I think we're stretching here.
Resulting fallout from that entire night with the veto competition and everything. It was great. It was a good, really good episode.
So not the greatest.
There's just a lot of moments.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good
stuff.
And once again, Topaz putting in the wrong key once again and needing to go. Needing to go to the instant replay and check the video. We're going to go to the replay. We'll be back after this. After reviewing the tape, the call on the field stands. Topaz voted for the wrong person.
That was great.
That's great. Okay. All right. So on Tuesday, we will be back. We'll be joined by the bros from The Shield. We will be talking with Peter and Alec on Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. We will then hopefully know who Canada has nominated, who won the veto, and what exactly happened with all that. So that should be a lot of fun this upcoming Tuesday night. So a lot to see what's going to happen. This is going to be a big game-changing week potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right. Well, definitely want to know what you guys think about all this, where you think it's going in the comments. We love hearing you guys. Actually, we had a lot of people watching the show live today. I think this might have been our biggest live audience of the season so far today. So how
holla,
do you like that?
People.
Holla.
Yeah, can I say one other thing?
Yes.
Yeah, the petition for the prizes in the Yankee Swap veto competition, for those to be in ascending order of value, starts here. Like, the current system makes no sense at all. Why they have it.
Explain it to me. What is the issue?
I think that the way they have been doing it, at least in 15 and 16, makes no sense, where sixth place is a veto and fifth place, the prize is a punishment. Like, it makes – no sense. You're much better off to come in sixth place than fifth place as it stands. And it really should just be the veto, the second best prize, the third best prize, all the way down to whatever the worst, like the costume is. It should be in like an ascending order.
Okay. So, all right, I see what you're saying. So if you come in sixth, you should get like the hot dog suit.
Right. I mean, basically the way it's going to play out is there's very little incentive for the person in fifth to take the whatever punishment they're given. And almost always they're going to trade because they're not going to think on a better level. Like if I came in fifth place and I got pool party for one, you bet your ass I'm going to keep pool party for one. But I feel like most players aren't going to do that. Whereas I think that's why it should be in the ascending value. I feel like at that point, if I come in fifth place and get pool party for one, I'll cut my losses because that's not really that bad. And it likely would go much worse if you trade for the veto.
Okay. All right. Interesting. And Brian, would you sign Ian's petition?
That all confused me just a little bit, so I'm just
me
going
too.
To bow
me
my
too.
Head to Ian's expertise.
Well, okay, well, think about it. If you come in fifth place and you trade pool party for one for the veto, you can bet with certainty you're going to get something far worse than a pool party for one.
But not necessarily. What if Allison gets like, oh, $2,500? It's like, well, I really need, I'm okay, on the block. I need the veto.
And unless she's in like first or second place, she should never rationally trade for the veto anyway. Like that's the thing is I never understand if you don't win that outright or come in second place, you really have no, and like have an arranged deal, you have no business taking the veto ever.
Yeah, but she was in fourth place. She won the veto.
Exactly.
She was in fourth.
And that shouldn't have happened. I guess it's right that she did it from one standpoint, but like that should never happen in a million years, especially since the other nominee was still in the game. And the one that needed it more was the nominee that was like more the target. Was still there. Like that could have gone disastrously bad.
All right, Ian, where can people sign up for this petition?
Tweet me if you agree with me.
Where? What is the address for the Kickstarter?
I haven't made one yet.
All right. Message at Tulane Terry on Twitter if you'd like to help get involved with the petition to change the Yankee swap veto prize order, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense the way they have it.
All right. And follow at Lynch MGM. As soon as Canada nominates its two house guests, Brian will be the first to know, and he will be reporting it on Twitter. Brian, will you be leaving the computer tonight?
Will I be leaving the computer?
Yes. Will you leave your post tonight, or you will be on full watch for nominations tonight?
Go for the bathroom.
I'm gonna go get some food and some beer, but I don't count bathroom breaks as being gone because I just turned the volume up.
All right, great. Well, this was a lot of fun tonight talking through all this letters from home and everything going on with Canada. Definitely a fun season of the Big Brother Canada. So thanks to all you guys who have spent some time with us today talking about what's coming up. Of course, Tuesday we'll have the guys from The Shield, Peter and Alec, are going to join us for what surely will be a polarizing interview that some people will love and other people will hate. And I think that's just the way that Peter and Alec like it. So it should be a fun night on Tuesday. Subscribe for more videos to the YouTube channel, robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. And of course, you could subscribe to all of our audio podcasts on our website at robhasawebsite.com and click the podcast tab. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. And by the way, if you missed our Game of Thrones season 3 catch up, we actually had technical difficulties and we're not able to do it yet. So I'm actually going to do that in about 45 minutes over on postshowrecaps.com. Ian, you like the Game of Thrones?
I actually don't watch it. My brother's a big fan though.
You'd like it.
I probably would. How many episodes are there?
No, there's only 30 so far.
Okay, that's a lie. Maybe I'll catch up though.
You have a week to catch up before season 4 starts.
Okay, well, I have to give it a look then.
All right. All right, take care. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye.